All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My next guest is Mr. Michael Letts. He is the CEO, president. He's the founder, president, and CEO of Invest USA. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Earl. I miss you. It's always a privilege and an honor to be on your show, and I appreciate so much what you're doing for our country.
It's always good to have you on. Where are you located in Texas?
I'm actually in South Carolina.
So, you know, as always, you and I have had many conversations. It's always good to have dialogue with you. We got a lot of things we're going to cover this morning, but I want to ask you your thoughts about yet another horrific shooting.
Well, you know, just utterly heart-wrenching, Earl. It really is, especially this is being a Christian school, you know, with these three young children, and one of them being the pastor's daughter itself, their youngest daughter. I know this family. They're just they're an incredible beacon in the country, in the community. And it's senseless. It's absolutely senseless. We have to deal with this situation. We have to deal with it.
But Michael, it's over and over and over and over.
You're exactly right, Earl.
Okay,
so
let me ask you. This person had two semi-automatic weapons, and they showed the person that on television. They actually showed the person physically, but they showed the person fired his weapon that blew open the glass, the heavy pane glass, to get into the building. And all I could think about is watching that power of that weapon destroy that door in order for the person to get in, a safety door, and then and then use that same powerful weapons to kill and tear the bodies of these innocent people apart. Why are we allowing the accessibility to those weapons, my friend?
Well, here's the interesting part, Earl. They were legally obtained.
I know the question, but Mike, the question is, why are they legal?
Well, and then that's a valid point. But at the same time, Earl, we can't excuse the actions and the holding people accountable. I think that's sometimes where people get frustrated, is we want to concentrate on the infrastructure and not on the persons that are using it or the accountability. We have to concentrate on both, Earl. I'm agreeing with you on both issues. We have to concentrate on both. But let's first of all talk about the infrastructure. I find it very interesting, Earl, that this was not the only possible target that was looked at. But there was another school looked at, but because of its increased security factors, it was ruled against. On this particular issue, let's just be very blunt, Earl. Before we talk about the guns, and we're going to talk about the guns. I'm not going to sidestep any issues with you. But before we talk about the guns, there needs to be a comprehensive evaluation of every school, public, private, charter, makes no difference, to make sure that every possible methodology to protect those occupants inside is utilized. As you just mentioned, they took that weapon, blew out that window. Now, there was no reason to have had a window that was not reinforced, steel reinforced, so that could not have been done. All these measures should be taken. The frustration, Earl, is we talk about it after the fact, after lives have already been lost. Why do we not take this stuff seriously and put a value and a premium on our children beforehand instead of afterhand? That's the first question I'd like to ask you and all the your listeners. Where are we placing our priorities? Because we're obviously not placing them on what we say we are, on our children. Because let me use an illustration, Earl. I'm talking about back in the 80s. You remember this time. We had a nursing crisis in this country. You remember that?
Yes. We have one now.
We placed an emphasis. And what do? We pulled out all this stuff, scholarship programs, whatever we needed to do to meet that objective. We as a country rallied and did that. Where is that same mentality right now, Earl, for the safety of our children?
So Michael, I really, and our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789 if you care to join in this conversation with my good friend and my guest, Michael Letts. Michael, are you saying that we need to, you know, build bomb shelters for students?
No.
Okay, so, I think, Mike, when you say we need to make sure that we have bulletproof glass in all the windows at the schools and doors and all of those things and the cost of all of that to prevent or attempt to prevent people who have easy accessibility to these weapons that are similar to military weapons. It just, correct, to me, Mike, it appears as though you're kind of looking at it from the wrong end. Why is it possible for a person to go in and buy two of these? Shouldn't there be some questions asked? Well, why are you?
There should be.
Okay, but they're not.
Well, now, Earl, I mean, we have extensive background checks in place in many already that are not being performed and implemented.
So why not? Why not?
That is an excellent question. And when you get to ask for the answer, oftentimes it's because they say they don't have the personnel to do so. You see, it gets back to the issue that I've talked about, Earl. When are we going to take matters seriously, not just discuss them, but actually put policies into place and formulate accountability? Whether it's accountability by law enforcement to make sure they're doing their job in the background checks, whether it's accountability to the people who would break the law to be held accountable and consequence. We don't need a revolving door system. We know what that is like, Earl. We know putting the people back out on the street just creates additional violent crime. The issue here, the key word is accountability. We have not done accountability for our young people and our students across this country. We prefer to use rhetoric, not accountability. And why is that, Earl? And I'll tell you why I think it is. It's because this issue is divisive. It is used for political purposes. It is used as rhetoric on both sides to, you know, raise money, to rally troops. We don't raise money, Earl, and rally troops off the life of children, okay? That's just morally reprehensible.
So, Michael, I got to tell you, people are, and everybody that I talk to and I hear people, and they are fed up. And they're fed up with the fact that these kinds of weapons are so easily accessible in this society. And I know you're a big law enforcement guy, but yet people can go in and buy. I mean, I don't have a criminal past, so I can go in and buy. I can go in and buy as many of these weapons as I want. That's legal. Why?
Well, and it gets back to this particular issue, and let's talk about it. I'm glad I'm on your show, Earl, quite frankly.
Well, I'm glad you're here, too.
We have a perception in this country, and I think it is a rightly perception that is a bad impression, but I think it is a merited impression that we no longer trust our federal government and our agencies. They have been weaponized and politicized. When you have an opinion like that, the next method is people want to make sure they're armed and able to protect and defend themselves from such obtrusive behavior by a federal agency or by a government. That is why they are so firmly implemented on not giving up their right to be able to protect their home and their property.
Hey,
one thing that has to be addressed, Earl. This is a very comprehensive discussion.
Hey, Mike.
A lot needs to be addressed.
All of those people who foolhardily somehow think that they're going to be able to prevent the government if the government makes a decision to do something armed intrusively into their lives, to somehow think that they're going to be able to hold off the government is ridiculous. Not going to happen.
You probably are speaking words of truth, but that's not words people want to hear. They want to know they have the right to try.
I know. Okay, so, but my point is, if they didn't have accessibility to these kinds of military weapons, and you just stated that in most instances, the reason they have them and purchase them is because they somehow believe that the government is going to be coming after them. And so, because somebody has that in their minds doesn't make it true.
But you know what, Earl, I'm going to agree with you. You and I are going to shock you. We're going to shock your listeners. We're going to agree on some things. But you can't just take one issue. It has to be a package. If we're going to talk about regulation, about, you know, background checks, what's effective, should you have that kind of armament? Should you be able to have a tank? Should you be able to have a bazooka?
Right.
Should you be able to have, you know, et cetera? Then we first of all have to deal with the primary issue of accountability. You know, it was interesting. I was on a show, shocked me, Earl. This was a minority show, okay? I just want you to know that. And it shocked me. The gentleman said, you know, I don't believe in locking up these gangbangers that are shooting up cars anymore. I think we ought to take them to public square, cut off their hands, and let them go back to school so people can see the results of the actions of their deeds. He says, where is it that people can see that there is a consequence to their actions? And I was dumbfounded. I mean, I didn't even know how to respond. And I sat there and thought to myself, are we got to that point, Earl, where is that a factor that's missing now? People think there's no accountability for actions anymore?
So my
if that's the case, how do we address it?
My retort to that, Mike, would be this. That is not the issue. The issue is that children are being slaughtered in these schools and not in rural area, in urban areas, but in rural areas and other places in suburbs, and their children are being slaughtered by people with these weapons, not the urban gangbanger who is killing, you know, his own people.
But their point, Earl, is what they're driving home is that there appears to be no accountability for people's actions anymore. We look at the action, not the person that did it, and that's what they're upset about. And unless we address that so that people feel like people are being held accountable while we make other adjustments and other policies, I don't think it will hold any water.
So let me. So you know, I'm one of the people who, you know, knows that yes, there are people and things that people are not being held accountable for, but I don't. I'm one who exercises my right to not go and get a AR-15 or any of those kinds of weapons, and in some misguided hope that I'm going to be able to prevent and stop, you know, what we see happening in the nation. Myself, hang on, Mike. Got to go to a break, Dave.
Sure.
Hang on. Got to go to a break. When we come back, it's good to have Mike Letts on. It's always good to have Mike Letts on. He is with Invest USA. He's the CEO, founder, and president. We'll be right back.
Express yourself. Express yourself. You don't never need help from nobody else.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Michael Letts. He is the founder, president, and CEO of Invest USA. Let's go to the phone lines. And David from Mequon, good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Good morning, Mike. I'm not sure how old Calvin is, but I'm going to say he's in his early 20s.
And right.
The reason why I'm bringing this up is, you know, prior to 9/11, okay, people used to get murdered on airplanes. We had hijackings. We had bombings. If you remember Lockerbie, Scotland, the whole plane blew up. There was no airport security whatsoever. And what was shocking to me was it took 9/11 before we actually put airport security in all our airports. Well, since then, we have not had that incident of where planes have been hijacked, and we have not had anybody murdered on the plane. We've had instances where people have been fighting on the plane, but we have not had any fatalities where somebody is literally hijacking a jet, threatening to kill everybody on there. And my solution would be, and unfortunately, Earl, you could ban all the guns tomorrow if you wanted to. But the problem is that guns are always going to be out there. They're always accessible because you can buy them from other countries, what have you. Granted, we make a ton, and yes, you can get access to them. But if you put individuals at our schools and you treat them like we do our airports, I think we would have a severe reduction and a good way, where schools would no longer be targeted, because they know there's security there, and there would be consequences.
Hey, Davis, you got any idea
you wouldn't
what
have to wait 15 minutes? You wouldn't have to wait 15 minutes for the police.
Yeah, you got any idea what the added cost to having armed security at all the schools?
It's worth it. It's worth it.
So
because the schools would be. Because the schools right now are easy, juicy.
So, but why is that? And so, why is that a better option than to challenge people on how it makes sense to give people access to these kinds of guns?
Because you still can kill, and most of the murders in the United States are committed by handguns. Handguns, not even high powered weapons, just regular old handguns. Pistols. And so you still have that situation where, okay, you get rid of the high capacity gun, but now, so a guy walks in with, you know, three or four pistols
clearly a guy with pistols,
four or five people easily.
Clearly a guy with pistols cannot get off as many shots as a guy with an automatic weapon. When I saw what that automatic weapon was able to do to get into the school, and the fact that, you know, you didn't have to aim, which is what you don't have to do with that. You can't tell me, Dave, that those guns, those weapons, those military weapons make sense for people to have.
But I'm telling you, people would just revert to that. That's
okay.
All
well, okay. Well, thank you very much for the call. Mike?
I think one of the key things that your listener was saying is, first of all, this is my take. Now, obviously, it's my opinion, but he was stressing that we have to place a premium on our children. We're not doing enough. We're not placing a premium enough. Second of all, he was stressing that, you know, if you remove one element of destruction, you'll find another, which is a truth statement. And the third thing is the criminal element always finds ways of finding elements of destruction, whether they're legal or not. But the point that I want to make in tying in with this, Earl, is I think if we concentrate to begin with on the accountability of action and then tie in the best methodology to help support that, you'll get a lot further with the American public than for them to think that you're going to let people continue to have actions, not be accountable for them, and just remove their ability to protect themselves.
So I'm glad you,
rightly or wrongly.
I'm glad you said that, Mike, because that leads me to you and your latest pitch sheet, D.C. police officers and maybe even the FBI played an undercover role during the January 6th riots, according to prosecutor. Veteran Michael Letts can't wrap his mind around how the FBI planted officers at the scene. Mike, you can't on the one hand talk about the fact that people aren't being held accountable for their actions and then somehow support what happened on January 6th.
No. You need to make sure that this is the context in which it was intended.
Okay.
It is never legal, never proper for law enforcement or any agency to do what we call entrapment, to create a situation
just so the listening audience is aware, you are saying that people who were engaged in the January 6th riots, that there were law enforcement and FBI agents who somehow entrapped these people.
As per the prosecutor, notice what the prosecutor has said in his sworn statement, that these were provocators. These were not undercover officers that are just sitting there so that you don't recognize who I am, or oh, suddenly I see a problem. Now I'm there.
So the FBI sent provocators to
that is what the implication of these
to somehow entrap. Okay, Mike, hang on. We got to go to a break, man, because I always love having you on. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. I promise you I'll give you a chance on the other side to defend what it is you are saying. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Some people have everything.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Michael Letts. Again, he is the president, CEO, and founder of Invest USA. So, Mike, before we went to break, you were saying, I was asking the question. Let me read this paragraph from you quickly, and then you can respond. Sure. D.C. police officers and maybe even the FBI played an undercover role during the January 6th riots, according to the prosecutor, in the midst of several people being tried and convicted for their role during what occurred at the U.S. Capitol back on January 6, 2021. A case surrounding a particular suspect has brought forth an interesting revelation. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And here is the critical aspect of what you're just talking about, Earl. It doesn't make any difference to me whether it's law enforcement or whether it is civilian, whoever it is. Anytime the law is not upheld and there's not equal justice, it's wrong, regardless of your position. That's what we're fighting for, is equal justice. When you have a position to where agencies are utilized to promote disorderly conduct, that's entrapment. That's illegal. And that has to be called out. It has to be put stopped to immediately, or we will, as a country, no longer exist, because we will not have equal justice for all. These are revelations that are very troubling and disturbing, this prosecutor has made. I will tell you other things that are very troubling and disturbing. You know, when the director of the Bureau before the Senate under oath was asked, are any assets or any agents from the Bureau have been utilized in an inappropriate manner or to provide agitation or to provide provocation, the response was not, as it should have been, absolutely not. That's illegal, and that we would never stand for that in this country. It was, this matter is under investigation, and I cannot comment. Now, Earl, there is nothing in the law that says you cannot comment, okay? That's a cop-out. Let's just be very blunt. We have gotten very good over the years at copping out to the American people and not giving them transparency, not giving them facts. And that's a cop-out when we say, oh, under investigation. Maybe under investigation for years to come, but we can't say anything for years to come. No, sir. You tell the truth. You tell it freely and let the people decide what the implications of that truth is. That's where the concern is lying now based on these revelations. We also know, quite frankly, Earl, that many of these people were charged, or when you look at video, should have been merely trespassing, if that. Yet they have been denied due process. Earl, that's not the American way. That is, something is awry. It needs to be exposed because it affects every American, black, white. I don't care what your race is, what your color is. This is America.
You
all have the same justice.
You know, Mike, it's, no, we don't. And,
we don't, but no, we should, Earl.
Should and is are two different things, Mike. And
I agree, but it doesn't mean we give up, Earl. It doesn't mean
here's what I want to say to you. When you see what I saw with my own eyes, and then you turn around and you see Tucker Carlson, who sanitizes what transpired and what took place, and those of us who know what we saw and know why people were there, and not all people apparently, but far too many, and what they did.
There was a mixture, Earl. I will agree with both. I will agree that there was a mixture, but you can't paint everybody with the same brush.
Well, you know, again, the government, as from everything that I've read, has done their due diligence, number one, to find out who the people were, to find out where they were, and ask support from other citizens to identify people who did those egregious things. And then they who have had to deal with a difficult time trying to identify who this person was, who did that.
Earl, if that were true, they would have identified who Ray Epps was. We know who he is. We know what he did. No, and yet he's been unaccounted for.
No, no, I'm just saying, you know, Mike, let me go to the phone lines and let's bring a caller in next. Hey, Gene, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. I'll let you have a conversation with Mr. Letts.
Hi, sir. I watched what was going on here. I've been following the court cases because you can see the transcripts and things. And, you know, I haven't seen anybody that's been picked up that shouldn't have been. I watched the lies being spread. I'm watching live all the time. I don't watch Fox or I don't watch MSNBC. But I was watching live that day. And I saw what happened. And I seen the people getting everybody going. I saw the emails that went out. This was spurred. People were riled. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, people that were lied to, they trusted the president. They trusted Fox News. They trusted the alternative media. You know, nothing is perfect in our country, but this was in your face, mob reaction. This was in your face violence. This is in your face violence every single day of the week, in the churches, in the schools. What do you got to say about that? Because that is really bothering me. I'm an old lady, and I don't belong to a party. And I've seen the world, but I have not seen what I am seeing today. And I believe that the FBI and the whole dang bunch of them need to arrest every person that did an act of violence by breaking into my Capitol, because we all need the rule of law. And believe you me, the one guy broke it for many, many years. I mean, this was the ultimate, ultimate crime against every single one of us, and it keeps going on.
Hey Gene. Thank you very much for the call. I wish I had more time. You want to respond, Michael?
That is partial truth, what you said, but you've left out a lot. Quite frankly, those doors, if you've ever been there, and I've been there many, many times, so I was there January the 6th, they're in D.C. But I can tell you the Capitol itself, those are doors, are 20,000-pound doors. You don't open those doors without access from the inside. Those doors were open. They did not bust down those doors. Those doors are open. The videotape.
Oh, somebody busted the windows and climbed. Mike, I saw people bust the windows. I saw people bust the windows and climb through the windows, Mike, and go in.
I agree with you, Earl, but you can't open the doors without having the access codes.
From the inside out?
It's not like a Walmart where you hit the button.
No, I'm talking about from the inside out. I've been in the Capitol.
That's what I'm talking about. Even on the inside, you have to have access codes to get those doors open.
Okay, so
those doors are not just open up.
So is it safe to say what you are saying is that there may have been some one or two people from the FBI or police, Capitol Police, who agreed with the rioters and may have assisted them, as opposed to somehow looking at this? Yeah, I wouldn't disagree that there may have been one or two.
The point I'm making, Earl, is we have to make sure all of the truth is out there. Is she correct that there were some provocators that did some insidious things? Absolutely. Should they be prosecuted? Absolutely. Is it fair to say that everyone there was a provocator? Absolutely not. Is it fair to say that some of those people were just wandering through, had no idea what was going on? It certainly is fair to say that when you look at the videotape. They only release, out of 40,000 hours, they only release a segment. Now, that shouldn't be, or they should release it all.
So Michael,
let you decide.
Michael, hang on. Let's bring Bill from Oconomowoc on. Hey, Bill, how you doing? You say what, sir?
Boy, that Mike that you got on there with him, I'd love to talk to him for an hour.
I know.
I'll just cut to the chase real quick. you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. Now, the FBI, I can guarantee, I got plenty of friends in law enforcement on high levels. I can guarantee, promise you that the FBI was not the problem. They were the solution. Yet there's a certain part of our American society that wants to believe the government is out to get them. Here's what happened because of people that believe the FBI was the problem. Comey was fired. We had a bunch of other people being fired or let down. Robert Mueller was trying to make a fool of. But here's what I know, and this is a fact. You can check this out. Trump admitted, had he not fired Comey, he would have been fired. And we all know that Comey knew what was going on. He was not part of the problem. And this idea that it's thus them against us, and the government is always the problem. No, the government is us. Accept responsibility. And we realize the government is us. It's not them or they or the FBI. And this concept that the FBI tried to promote or do any of this, my God, why don't move to another country? Because there's plenty of countries that believe that's part of the problem. But we in the United States, I stand behind the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Joint Chiefs, the whole nine yards. Hey. Yes, they're not perfect. But let me just finish. They're not perfect. They're not perfect. But I'll put my money on them any day. And I'd be glad to discuss with this gentleman face to face what he's talking about, because I hope I can convince him to be a true American and support America.
Hey, Bill, thank you very much for the call. I wish I had more time. Michael, go ahead.
Well, I will simply say this. The bottom line is transparency and truth. And withholding evidence is never transparent. It's never true. Trying to say that things are investigation, I can't comment, is never true. I have plenty of friends in top levels of all these agencies. I know what transpires. I know what goes on. And quite frankly, sunshine is the best. And that's all we're saying, is that there should not be any information withheld. All information should be forthcoming. And you're going to find there's problems on both sides. I agree with him. Nobody's perfect. And there are issues that should have been addressed on both sides. And when the American public sees that we're being fully transparent on both sides, I believe these issues become subservient and we move on to better things.
Well, you know, Mike, you talk about the side that supported in, you know, Donald Trump when he called to have people show up. And yes, there's a segment of this population that agrees with that, but there's a much broader population that disagrees with that anyway. They knew that what Donald Trump was trying to make happen was not right, was totally wrong, and to mobilize people and set people up the way he did for something that everybody knows never occurred, based on a lie, that those people all showed up for something based on a lie, is what frustrates so many Americans, Michael. And when they hear, well, you know, you respond, this is why they have so much ire.
Well, but you know, Earl, when you look at it, you and I are saying the same thing.
No,
they want to know the truth. They want to know what happened. They want to know the full truth, not part of it. They want to know the full truth, because there's plenty of issues on both sides that could have been done differently.
You know, hang on. We've got to go to a break. Jack from Merrimack, you're next up. 844-967-2789. My guest is Michael Letts, and certainly D.C. police officers and maybe even the FBI played an undercover role during the January 6th riots, according to the prosecutor. We'll be right back. right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Michael Letts. He is the founder and CEO of InvestUSA. And let's go quickly to back to the phone lines. Jack from Merrimack. Hey, Jack, how you doing? You have a question or comment?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure where to start again. when you guys started discussing January 6th, there was just so much false equivalency going on. I don't even want to get into that. I do want to go back to the mass shootings issue. And there's an old statement that guns don't kill people, people kill people. Well, of course, the guns by themselves don't kill people. But it's people with guns that kill people. And if the people didn't have those particular certain kinds of guns, fewer people would be able to kill and fewer people would die. There are solutions for this, and we've known about them for decades. In 1996 in Port Arthur, Australia, 35 were killed in a mass shooting, and after that, their parliament actually did something. They banned certain types of guns, and it's a very pro-gun society in Australia. And they had a buyback of those guns. Literally hundreds of thousands of these weapons were turned in, and arguably there hasn't been a mass shooting in Australia since then. There certainly hasn't been a mass shooting of that degree since. For a decade, we had an assault rifle ban in this country, and statistically, there were fewer of these mass shootings as well. And the only reason that hasn't been renewed in the last 20 years, in my opinion, is that too many of our legislators have been bought off for whatever reason. Well, will there always be guns of that type in this country? Of course, whether they're legal or not. Will there always be people crazy enough to use them in mass shootings? Yeah, unfortunately, that's true, too. But if our legislators have enough courage to enact appropriate laws, we can almost certainly cut down on these horrible acts. And that's what we need to do. It worked in other places. It can work here.
Hey, Jack, I wish we had more time. Thank you.
End of rant.
Thank you very much for the call, Michael.
Well, a couple quick things. First of all, statistically, there was no difference between the ban before and afterwards. So actually, the ban did not work. The second thing is that I do understand what happened in Australia, but Australia is also the same country that mandated the COVID-19 vaccine, mandated, not suggested, mandated, and now look at the issues that their population is having because they had no way of pushing back. They had no way of doing anything other than abiding by whatever the government told them they had to do. So we have to have a fine line here to make sure we keep our government in check as well, and that's what our Constitution was originally founded upon.
Michael, let's do this. Let's go to Stephen from Green Bay. Stephen, thank you very much for the call. You say what, sir?
Regarding guns, I guess the question I have is, when the heck as a nation are we going to learn our lesson and stop fighting each other and start working together to a solution? And that solution, in my mind, is mental health care. And you know, when are we going to start doing things to bring awareness to mental health issues and really fund the mental health care system? I mean, when I make a appointment to go see a counselor, I'm told, oh, well, we'll see you in 2 months. 2 months? What are you talking about, 2 months? If I'm a mentally sick person and I'm thinking about doing something, I don't have 2 months to wait. So this is just ridiculous.
So let me ask you, Stephen, I've seen people debate whether or not mentally ill people. I have a son that's mentally ill. And I've seen people debate saying the mentally ill people have a constitutional right to own guns. How does that make sense?
Well,
that we don't want to take away their Second Amendment right.
It doesn't. I'm sorry if you can't. I mean, some of these mentally ill people, you know, can't hold on a job or drive a car, but you're telling me that they can hold a device in their hands.
They can buy one.
Life. Doesn't make any sense.
They can buy one. Thank you very much for the call, Michael.
Well, I mean, let me drive this point poignantly home. We have, in our law enforcement community, remember the Invest, its primary goal and objective is we take care of our first responders. They have the greatest fraction towards PTSD because of what they see literally every day. Do you think, Earl, there's any money allocated for their mental well-being or to help them deal with PTSD? Absolutely.
Well, there's no money. There's no money to help men who and women who go off and fight in these wars. For it's not just the law enforcement officer. But again, Mike, the problem, the issue is we need to address the easy accessibility to the weapons. We can talk, we can dance around all the other things, the ancillary things, but at the root of it is the easy accessibility to these weapons of mass destruction.
I guess, girl, you and I do have a difference, and that's great for us to have differences.
Yes.
To me,
you and I can have a conversation, but go ahead. Yeah.
To me, the basis, or as you talk about, what is the root cause, the basis to me is the action, not the access. Because you can take an SUV and pile over how many people in a Christmas parade and kill more than you could have with an automatic weapon. It's the access, not just the
action. So much. There's no correlation between one guy who took an SUV and did what he did with the continued slaughter that goes on. What is it, almost 70 mass shootings already in this country already?
You know,
how many times has an SUV been used thus far to run over a bunch of people? There's no correlation between the two,
well,
Mike.
It's not just SUVs, or you know.
I know, but that's what you're saying.
Nice, so, but it's nice. It's all kind of issues. The point being, Earl, is where I think you and I can come to an agreement is if we put it all together as one package that we're dealing with, then nobody thinks that you're ignoring what they think is a primary cause in favor of something else. It has to be done uniformly. You can't hand-pick and hand-cherry each particular issue.
Hey, Mike, it's always good talking to you, my friend. We got to do a little bit more of this.
We'd love to. You're a great host, and I always enjoy the engagement.
All right. We'll certainly reach out to you again because people want to talk to you. They want to hear from you. All right. That's Michael Letts from Invest USA. I want to thank everybody who made the show go. My first guest, Joel Brennan from Milwaukee, and Robert Miranda and Michael Letts. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. Great stuff as always. I'll be back on tomorrow. Thank you to the listening audience. Couldn't do it without you. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you all later.
Look out.